to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hello and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. How is everyone doing? I hope you guys are doing well this November 16th, I think, a week before Thanksgiving. So I hope everyone is healthy and well right now. Today I have a really cool guest, author Linda Yael Schiller, and we're going to be talking about dreams and specifically nightmares manifesting from our trauma. And she's going to join me in just a few minutes. For my regulars who listen every week, welcome back. Thank you for being here with me every week. I really appreciate it. And for anyone who is joining my show for the first time, I want to give you a big welcome. A little about me. I am an author. I'm a photographer. I'm an artist. And my book is titled Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. And in my book, I have 30 manifesting stories, along with the photographs that I took of the contributors' manifesting postcards. And I include in the book writing exercises, and it helps us get clear on what we want to manifest, right? Because we don't always know. We just kind of say we want more money, or we want more. We want to be happy, or we want abundance. So we really want to get clear. And so I have those writing exercises in the book to help us get clear on what it is we specifically want. And there's also a toolbox full of fun exercises on how to manifest in love, money, health, career, and so much more. So if you are interested in doing the inner work exercises and reading people's incredible journeys of transformation, inspiration, and manifesting, you can go to your favorite bookstore and purchase a copy. But I just got an email yesterday that all the books from mango.biz, including mine, that's mango, M-A-N-G-O.B-Z, are on sale for 30% off until January 31st for the holidays. So grab a copy for yourself as a gift in time for the holidays. And I always ask people each week to keep sending me manifesting postcards. If you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, if you go to postcardstotheuniverse.com, I explain what a manifesting postcard is and how and where to send it. And if you're on Facebook and you like public groups that are uplifting, you can join me on Postcards of Love. So each week I share an affirmation with a magical message, and it's an image of a manifesting postcard that I photograph with the affirmation that I like to focus on for that week. And I find using affirmations daily is a powerful way for it to become a new belief in our lives. And this week's magical message is, let's dream big. And it's funny that I have Linda on today, because we're going to be talking about maybe not the best kind of dreams, more nightmares, but it just sort of fell that way that this week's was let's dream big, and we're going to be talking about dreaming. So that's always interesting when that happens. So, you know, dreaming big requires some things that we need to do. It requires us to overcome our fear of failure, because a lot of us have fear of failure. But on the flip side of that, we have a fear of success. Like we, you know, we may say we want to be on a musical artist, a big pop artist or something, but we're afraid of what success can change about us, right? So it requires us to have confidence, and it requires us to use our imagination, right? And I always believe that dreaming big also requires us to find the meaning and why we want what it is, whatever our dream is, right? What is the deeper meaning in that? And we have to get really good at setting some goals, some doable goals that we can take a small action step every day. We can't go from 0 to 100, right? So we need to take one tiny little step towards our big dream every day to bring that into our lives. And I would ask myself the question, if you're thinking about what your big dream is, does living this life with that dream feel good? Does it feel like it's authentic? What does your body feel like when you imagine the dream. You're living the dream, whether it's a new house, a different location, a new love, more money, better health. What does it feel like? That's really important in manifesting, is tapping into the feelings and the emotions for what we want. So just certain things to think about this week. Next week, I have a granddaughter, Crow. She's an author, medicine woman, public speaker, and teacher. And in her, she has a book that she's going to talk about next week called Belief, Being, and Beyond. And she invites us readers to engage in deep self-reflection as we learn about different legends, religions, and scientific findings. So it's going to be really interesting. Okay, but to bring out my guest today, Linda Yael Schiller is a mind, body, and spiritual psychotherapist, consultant, author, and international teacher. And Linda facilitates group dream circles, provides individual, group, and corporate consultation, and trains professionals on working with dreams. She has designed several innovative methods for dream work. In her book, which we're really going to focus on today, PTS Dreams, Transform Your Nightmares from Trauma Through Healing Dream Work, she shares how nightmares, especially those caused by trauma, not only disrupt your sleep, but can leave you exhausted, on edge, and haunt your daylight hours. With in-depth information on the nature of nightmares, Linda shows you how to turn anxiety-filled or heart-pounding dreams into resources for spiritual growth. Combining neuroscience, healing, mysticism, and creativity, PTS Dreams helps transform nightmares into a new story, one of hope, healing, and life-affirming images. Linda is trained in numerous mind-body methods such as EMDR, EFT, energy psychology, Enneagram, which I'll find out what that is when we bring her on, and integrated trauma treatments. In addition to her professional work with dreams, she has been involved with her own dream sharing groups for more than 30 years. How interesting is that, right? So for more information, visit www.ptsdreams.com. Welcome, Linda. Thanks so much for being here with me today.
Thank you very much. Good to be here with you.
I'm so excited. Okay, so how did you get into dream work? Like, what sparked this work that you're doing?
Sure. So it was interesting listening to your introduction and your comments about your work and your book, because one of the things you talked about was sort of paying attention and coincidences. And Carl Jung, one of the granddaddies of modern dream work, talks about synchronicity. And that's kind of how I got into dream work myself, almost by a happy accident. I'd always been sort of tuned into alternative spiritual disciplines and alternative ways of knowing things as a child, but I hadn't paid that much attention to my dreams. And right. Later on, when I moved to the Boston area, a friend of mine moved up from New York City, and she said, you know, I don't miss anything about New York. It was really just too big for me, but I miss my dream circle, so I'm going to start one here in Boston. And she said to me and a few others, she said, will you join my dream circle? And I just said yes. And I didn't, then my next question after I said yes was, what's a dream circle?
Right.
So my intuition told me to say yes to this, even before I exactly knew what it was. In short, a dream circle is when you get together with a group of other people to do dream sharing and dream exploration. And that was the start of it for me. Then it sort of took off for me and engaged my fascination in my personal life and then my professional life as well, as I incorporated into my work with my clients.
Oh, that's so interesting. So is that like a... you know, for anybody listening, because you piqued my interest, like joining a dream circle, like how would we even go about finding where we would, do you have dream circles that are open, like public groups, or how would we find one? Is it in person or do you do it online? How does that work?
So the answer is like D, all of the above, right?
Okay.
Many, many ways to put together a dream circle. And there are some that if you go onto dream sharing forums, you might find them online. But you also, anyone can put together their own dream circle. I have been running a group for years, and I'm also a member of my own personal group. But the way to start a dream circle really is get together with a group of friends who are interested in dreams. And there are not a lot of rules you need. You gather, and you can gather online, so you can work with people anywhere in the country or the world, or you can gather in person, depending on, you know, the proximity of who you're inviting, and have an intention to bring your dreams to the circle together to share and to give each other feedback and to help explore the many layers of possible meaning that your dreams could have. And some groups have a facilitator where someone is sort of in charge and they're paid to run the group. The members pay a fee. And other groups are self-help groups. They, you know, meet on their own without a facilitator. And one of the things I offer is I help people sort of jumpstart their groups as well. So if a group of people wanted to get together and they don't really know how to start, they want some guidelines, they want some help learning how to do dream work, you know, I will work with someone for, you know, 4 to 6 meetings, get them going, get them some tools, and then they're off on their own after that.
That sounds really, really interesting. Dream work. Must be some really interesting conversations in these groups. So let's get into it. What is the difference between a dream and a nightmare? And then the second part of that question will be, you know, what is a, you know, quote unquote, ordinary nightmare compared to nightmares that result from trauma?
Sure. So the difference between a dream and a nightmare really is in the emotional narrative that accompanies the dream. And you talked about paying attention to your feeling and paying attention to your bodies. So when we have a dream, there are several sort of layers to a dream. There's the storyline, the narrative of what happens. There are the images in the dream. There's the setting in the dream where it takes place. And there are your emotional responses to what's happening in the dream itself. And when you wake up from the dream, what are your emotional responses? So in a non-nightmare dream, your emotional narrative is going to be something pleasant or neutral. It could be you have in the dream feelings of being happy or delighted or curious or interested. And in a nightmare, in a bad dream, we might say, you might have a mild irritation or an annoyance or a little bit of anxiety, but you're not terrified in a bad dream.
Right,
but in a nightmare, then we get to those really big negative emotions where in the dream itself or when you wake up, you're really scared. You're very, very anxious. You're feeling dread. You're feeling terrified. You're feeling enraged. Those big negative emotions, basically, those are the hallmarks of what we would call a nightmare.
Okay. And then what would be an ordinary nightmare compared to one that results from some trauma you experienced?
Sure. So nightmares have many sources to them, and some of them are part and parcel of our daily life or developmental stages, and others are generated from trauma that happened to us or that we witnessed. And non-trauma nightmares sometimes are accompany developmental life stages, like young children will often go through a phase where they're afraid of the monster under the bed or the boogeyman in the closet. And that's a normative phase for kids to go through. That doesn't mean necessarily that they're going through a traumatic event. Hormonal changes in our bodies can trigger nightmares. If you have indigestion, you've eaten some bad food, that can cause a nightmare. Medications, whether they're prescription or recreational use, can cause the equivalent of what we might call a bad trip, but it's actually a nightmare if you have it in your sleep. So there are many different things that can create nightmares. Sometimes also, this is an interesting thing, something that is happening in your exact environment, like outside your room, can creep into your dream. It's called day seepage. It's a funny word. And so one example of that is many years ago, I was having a dream where there was an earthquake going on in my dream. And that's not a usual dream symbol for me. It was like a surprising dream to be having. And as I came into wakefulness, I realized I'm feeling my house shaking. And I go, oh my goodness, am I really having an earthquake? And I look outside my window and there was a jackhammer digging up the street.
Oh. And my, so your subconscious picked it up, as, right, as an earthquake. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. So these are some of the non-traumatic precipitants of a nightmare. But then also, when we have in our current life or our recent past or our deep past have had traumatic events occur to us, whether they were single episode or long-term ongoing trauma, if we haven't been able to process them, if we haven't been able to metabolize them, if we haven't been able to get ourselves in our internal world to a safe enough place to be able to put them to rest, work them through, process them out, and get those emotions to come back to neutral, then they live inside of us, and we get an SOS from our unconscious that says, you're not done here. There's more you need to deal with in order to get to a place where you're no longer haunted by the memories of the things that have happened to you.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. And I had a recurring nightmare, and I know it was trauma related. It wasn't a nightmare like, oh, the boogeyman is trying to get me, but it had a lot to do with after my divorce, and it would happen for years. Like I would get, like they would come in cycles, and I would be reliving one of the biggest issues that we were having in the relationship over and over and over again.
Yep.
And even I had thought years it was, I was done with this, you know? So it was really, really interesting. And I want to touch on that. But I just looked at the clock and I see that we're at the first break. So let's do that now. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. So stay tuned.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Hi. I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on OM Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The rainbow is God's promise of hope for you and me. And though the clouds hang heavy and the sun we cannot see, we know above the dark clouds that fill the stormy sky, hope's rainbow will come shining through when the clouds have drifted by. Teresa Caprio is the president and founder of Rainbow Guardian, Inc., a nonprofit 501c3 serving the intellectually challenged/developmentally disabled, including autism. Teresa started the foundation in 1995 so she could help make a better life for her intellectually challenged daughter. Her dream is that the Rainbow Guardian will provide the necessary tools and education to help the public understand the special needs population, because it's often discarded in mainstream society. To find out more or make a donation in support, please go to www.rainbowguardian.org. Rainbow Guardian's special mission is to see these unique people live a happy, full life and have a future of liberty and equality.
Welcome back. So if you're just joining me, I have Linda Schiller on, author of PTS Dreams, Transform Your Nightmares from Trauma Through Healing Dreamwork. And we were talking about I was talking personally about an experience I had, reoccurring dream, and the reason it was traumatic, it was because the experience was traumatic, right? It wasn't like monsters or people trying to murder me or, you know, being in like a scary haunted experience. It was just reliving that like issue. That was our biggest issue, right? And it was interesting, Linda, is how surprising how many years later it would come up. You know, when I'm thinking, oh, I'm done with this, you know, mm-hmm. So I'm sure I'm not the only one. So what is, would that be considered a PTSD dream or PTSD dream?
Yeah. So you make a really good point, because there are sort of two types of dreams or nightmares that we might have, and particularly with nightmares. And one of them is the metaphoric, symbolic type of dream where... Mm-hmm. Stand in for something else, where we might get, you know, the ghosts, or we might get the haunted houses, or we might get natural disasters that we never lived through or experienced, but are a metaphor for our tumultuous emotions. And the other kind of nightmare is exactly what you're saying, is it's like you got stuck on replay, right? Mm-hmm. It's like instant replay over and over and over of the same event or the same issue that mm-hmm. was the traumatic event or issue in the first place. And this is actually a very common phenomena. A lot of war vets talk about how they will relive a moment from the theater of war, and it's like having a flashback in their sleep, where the dream just comes back over and over and over again. And so some issue in our life that had a large emotional valence for us, a large emotional impact, that we haven't quite finished either figuring out or dealing with, or the fallout from that issue has not yet sufficiently been resolved, is one reason why we might have these reoccurring dreams or these reoccurring themes. They might not necessarily be the same dream, but it could be the same theme. And the other part is, if we're getting triggered in our present-day life, if something is reminding us unconsciously of the issue that we were struggling with back then, we might get the reoccurring dream because we're being reminded of something in our present-day life that isn't quite resolved for us yet. It still has emotional impact on us. And when people ask me, for example, how do I know if I've resolved these traumatic events in my life, one of my answers is, when it's only a memory and nothing else, and you no longer have a negative emotional reaction or response to the event or the memory of it or the things that remind you of it, then you can say, oh, okay, I guess I have resolved this sufficiently so that no longer is leading me around and interfering with my life.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, we have to give ourselves a little bit of, you know, slack and a break, because if something happens, whether it would be trauma to somebody else or not, doesn't really matter, right? You know, whatever's traumatic to you or caused you the trauma is all that matters. And you might be dealing with that for years and years and years and years after the actual event happen, you know, because a lot of people think, oh, you should be over it by now, right? I mean, if you weren't a prisoner of war, sometimes people are like, well, you know, that wasn't that bad, you know, that's, you know, and that kind of makes you feel like, is there something wrong with me, you know, that I'm still having trauma from this event, you know? So can you touch on that?
Yeah, it's so subjective. It's no one else can tell you how you feel or how you, quote unquote, should feel.
Right.
And, you know, the nature of trauma is such that it's very subjective. It's very personal. And what was going, how old you were when the traumas occurred has effect on how you're able to process something. So if it happened, if you lived during your childhood, for example, in a abusive environment or a dysfunctional family, you can't fully process what it means because all you have available for you is your child mind and your child sensibility. So later on, you need to revisit it from an adult perspective to be able to make peace with it and to be able to find some distance and make meaning out of it. And the same thing is true in our adult lives. If something happened and we're in the middle of a very hard situation, we do the best that we can. We get up, we put on our, you know, our big girl or our big boy pants every morning and go forward and take care of our life and our children and our jobs. And we need to have the time and the space, and we need to have people around us who can help us and support us as well. And if you didn't, not you personally, but anyone, right, you or anyone else, wasn't able to have people around to support and help us figure out and understand how to move past these things and how to metabolize them so that you can do the inner work, so you can do the grieving, so you can do the resolution that you need to be able to move on, it'll sit with us. Sometimes we all need an extra helping hand or several to resolve something that's been really hard.
So if the nightmares, the traumatic nightmares keep coming up, that's a good indicator to us, there's something still here that I need to maybe look at and figure out how to heal, correct?
Exactly right. That's right.
Yeah.
It's information, and one of the things that can be really helpful, even that little bit of knowledge when you wake up from a nightmare to say, oh, here's information for me, helps kind of reduce the distress level just a little bit at least, because you can say, oh, there's something I haven't finished with yet. There's something I'm not resolved about yet. There's something I haven't yet been able to move past. I better pay attention to it, because otherwise the nightmares are going to keep coming, right? They're going to escalate. They're going to return, because your system wants to heal. I mean, we're hardwired. This is one of the precepts of ADEP, which is a type of therapeutic intervention by Diana Fossa, where we are all hardwired for healing, and our body minds want to return to a peaceful homeostasis. So we need to pay attention when they're giving us signals, like through the nightmares, that all is not at peace yet, and do something to help ourselves.
Yeah, I like that. We're hardwired to want to heal. That's good to know. So how does trauma and stress affect our lives and our dreams?
Well, trauma and stress affect our lives in many, many ways. And in the DSM, which is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, there's a category of diagnosis called PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder. So we will normally have reactions and responses when we've been through traumatic events. We might have a heightened startle response. We might feel lots of grief. We might feel very irritable and easily triggered to be angry. We might get very anxious. We might be depressed. We might be reliving it in our minds. And all these types of, or on the converse, we may also numb out, right? Mm-hmm. So we can kind of go numb and move into a depressive or dissociative place if our system is fine that I can't even deal with this right now. Our wise unconscious sort of pushes it away and gives us a break to be able to catch our breath. But it doesn't mean it's gone. It means we got a break from it for the time being. So all of these things are normative, and if someone is then, after their traumatic experiences, which either they lived through or witnessed, either or both, their body will come back into kind of a homeostasis on its own if they're able to recover from it, and then they don't get the D part. It's only, quote-unquote, disorder, PTSD, if it goes on for more than 6 months and you haven't been able to self-regulate and get back to a more even keel. Then it becomes moved into, this has become sort of part of your personality structure at that point, and you're going to need some extra help to get through it. But that's not true for everybody, and it's not true anytime we have a traumatic event. So we don't have to assume it's going to be a big personality disorder. But if your listeners are experiencing continued upset and continued anxiety and continued fear, then they might be advised to seek some professional help to help guide them to figure out what's going on and what they need to do to differentiate between then and now, because we get stuck, like we loop over and over again on the past until we figure out what's the difference between now and what happened then. Because once we do that, we're then able to move into the future, both for ourselves and to make an offering to other people to help them in similar situations.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about dissociation, and you touched on that. So when we dissociate from the trauma, would we also be disassociating necessarily in our dream, or would our subconscious be trying to get our attention, and could that heighten the nightmares, the traumatic nightmares, when we're disassociating in waking, you know, in our waking experience?
Right. So the concept of dissociation is it's actually on a continuum. It's not a single thing. There's a type of dissociation which is called sort of normative or healthy dissociation, where, okay, for example, like highway hypnosis, you're driving, all of a sudden you realize, oh, darn, you know, the exit that I wanted was 10 minutes ago, and I didn't notice, right? Like, and then we have to ask ourselves, who's been driving the car for the last 10 minutes?
Right.
So that's a sort of normative kind of dissociation. And then we can have daydreaming, where you're sitting in a workshop or a lecture, and you're thinking about, oh, what am I going to make for dinner, or where am I going on vacation, and you just haven't heard a thing that the speaker has said. That's a form of dissociation. These are obviously not traumatic, but then we move into the continuum, and the dissociation or the separation of time and space can happen either with the events or with the emotions. So some people can remember the events, and then when they tell you about it, it's like they're talking about someone else. They're so calm, they're so even. So what those people have done at an unconscious level is separate the event from the emotional narrative by suppressing the emotions. So that's one type of dissociation. And then the flip side of the same coin is when you have heightened emotional responses that are bigger than the situation seems to call for, when they're sort of larger than life, but you don't know why. You somebody walks by and you feel terrified, and you don't know this person. You're a stranger. What are you responding to? So in that case, the dissociation was from the events that happened, and what remain are the emotional responses, like the opposite. So in our dreams and nightmares, we could have either one. We can have dreams where we're replaying the events, with or without the emotional narrative that we would expect to go along with scary things or upsetting or traumatic events. We can also have upsetting emotions and narratives in our dreams that are far-fetched or unusual or otherworldly, and we have no idea what they're about. But the emotions then are our clue and contain the signposts to something happened that we don't quite remember yet that generated these feelings of upset, and that our dreams are pointing us in the direction of uncovering that.
Yeah, that's true. As I'm hearing you talk about that, thinking about some of the dreams, you know, the ones that stick out at you, you know, because some, you know, I mean, very common. We have a dream. We first remember it when we wake up. And then a couple hours later, we're like, what was that I dreamt about? You can't remember. Mm-hmm. So how are these nightmares or trauma nightmares, or ordinary nightmares, different from night terrors? Or are they one and the same?
Oh. Yeah, night terrors are sort of a category of their own, and they're much more common with young children. Mm-hmm. So night terrors, often, if you know any parents who've had a kid who's had a night terror, know that the child or the adult in some cases as well seems like they're wide awake, but they're not. There's something lying to them, and it's really challenging to calm them down because it's actually kind of like sleepwalking. They're not really awake, but it seems that they're awake. And they're having a reaction, a response to something, and we don't know what it is. So there's this sort of liminal space between waking and sleeping, and we kind of have to help the person with the night terror traverse that liminal space so they actually wake up and realize they're in a safe place. So it's a little bit different than a night.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I mean, now that you're saying it, like, it never dawned on me that it's mostly when they're awake, but they're having because I've seen that with, some kids before. And I remember, you know, seeing it with my niece and nephew when they were little, having those, you know, here and there, a couple of those experiences. So I just always assumed you were asleep and you were screaming in your sleep. But now I see what you're talking about. That's really, really interesting. All right. I want to get into when we come back, because we're up at the second break, about what REM is and EMDR when we return. Okay. So stay tuned and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcomed to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that.
Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back. Okay, so Linda, I want to talk about, I don't know what EMDR is, and you, because you have, so you guys listening, so what I've been doing is I've been, the questions I'm sort of following today with Linda is I'm going along her book, which is all the chapters of her book, so it's really interesting, and you get a lot of information in her book. So what is REM in EMDR?
Sure. So REM is rapid eye movement, and that's what happens when we're asleep and dreaming. So when we are sleeping, we have different levels or depths of sleep, alpha, beta waves, theta waves. So this is the deepest level of sleep. It's just, and if you've ever watched either your, you know, an adult or your pet for that matter, if your eyelids moving underneath the lids when you're asleep, you're actually watching your dream. So that's And EMDR is an integrated body mind therapy protocol that helps us to resolve trauma, and it's one of the tools that I use in creating the method that I designed for working with traumatic nightmares called the Gaia method. So the Gaia method, and I'll tell you about EMDR in a sec, stands for Guided Active Imagination Approach. And that it's based on two pillars, and one is on Jungian, Carl Jung's active imagination work, where we can go inside of a dream state after we've wakened and work with the characters and work with the storyline and move around inside the dream from our waking place to help resolve things that weren't resolved when we woke up from the dream. So that's one pillar. And the other pillar of the work is based on best practice trauma treatments, which really attend to an integrated body-mind healing. And EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, which actually has the eyes follow a back-and-forth motion that someone would make with their hands. Some of your readers might be familiar with it. There also is a tool now called a light bar. But it's it's basically any sort of bilateral stimulation to the brain that is done along with a cognitive behavioral protocol that allows you to process the information in a way that you weren't originally able to process.
Oh, okay. So somebody would work with like a practitioner like you doing EMDR, going over the trauma in a safe environment. And to, so there's not a trigger, so it like it starts to loosen the trigger associated with the trauma. I'm trying to think of it in layman terms for those of us who don't really know the kind of work you know, really understand the depth of the work.
There's a lot of different forms of sort of energy psychology that are out there today, and this is sort of on that spectrum, if you will. There's EFT, which is colloquially known as tapping. There's, you know, things that work with meridians and things that work with chakras, and all of them work on an integrated body-mind system where we're attending to body, mind, and spirit to bring in the healing. And EMDR is along the lines of that, but it's the most rigorously studied and has the most sort of research behind it. Mm-hmm. And EMDR is not one you can kind of do at home by yourself. Right. You need a life practitioner to help guide you through it, because we titrate carefully in order to prevent the person doing the work to get overwhelmed or to get re-traumatized, because that's the last thing we want to happen is a re-traumatization.
Yes, of course. Yeah, you don't want to work with a client and re-traumatize them. And you talk about in one of your chapters, which I found really interesting, the layers of our dreams. And you call it, or it's called the Pardes system.
Pardes.
Okay. So can you share a little bit or touch on what the layers of our dreams are and what that Pardes system is?
Yes. So I'm a student of Kabbalah, and I've been studying it for many years. And Pardes is a Hebrew word that literally means orchard. It's an allegory for the Garden of Eden, but it's also an acronym. And each of the four letters, which in English would be the P, R, D, and S, stand for a different layer of reading the sacred texts. So I applied that method of reading secular texts to reading the sacred text of our own internal world of our dreams. So the P stands for the Hebrew word, which is pshat, which means in English simple. And so the first layer of our dream is the dream as we dreamt it, the story and the characters and the landscape. The second layer, the R, stands for the word remez, which means hint or hinted at. And this is the layer where we get our first associations to the dream, where we wake up and we go, oh, yeah, I think it's connected to this, or, oh, yeah, you know, I had Chinese food for dinner last night. That's why I dreamt about interacting with people who were born in China in my dream. That first, you know, first level of associations, it's not too deep. It's pretty obvious once we think about it for a minute or two. The third layer is D for drash, which means it's expiation of it, and it's from the word lidrosh, which means to chase after. So this is the revealed layer, and this layer is where we would use a variety of different methods and techniques and styles of doing dream work in order to really peel the layers of the onion to get to those deep underlying meanings that may have to do with our current life, our past life, our family situation, and have many potential ways of accessing and many potential meanings. And then the final one, S, would be sud, which in English would translate as secret. And this is the transpersonal layer where we might be peeking around the corner of time and space to see the future, where prophetic dreams might be occurring, where we have visitations from spiritual beings, depending on anyone's personal belief systems, where we might have visits from relatives, which would be different than dreaming about your mom or your dad or your friend or your pet who came to visit, and actually having a sense of a visitation, that the spirit of that being has joined you in the dream, as opposed to having it be an image or a metaphor for them. So that would be, and all of these layers can exist simultaneously, so it's not either or. You can have many possible layers of meaning for a dream.
Yeah, that's interesting that you said that, because my sister passed away 4 months ago, and I've had two visitation dreams, and the others are just dreams, and I don't know how I know, but I know. You know, you can feel the difference. So for anybody who's ever had that experience, like, I've had a lot of dreams about her, but I definitely know two were actual visitations, which have a different feel to them. And I just knew it. And I don't know how I knew it. I can't describe it in words how I knew
exactly
it. So,
right.
Yeah.
Visceral beyond words. It's a somatic experiencing of the essence of that person being with you. They're usually more vivid. They're stronger. You can feel their touch. You can hear their voice. You can see their eyes in a way that's different than having a dream about a character.
Yeah. It's great. Let me tell you. So I want to go, you talk in a couple of chapters about, for those who are listening, who may be experiencing a lot of traumatic dreams, how we get off the, as you say, the merry-go-round of reoccurring dreams, and doing some shadow work and befriending our fears. So can you touch a little bit on that?
Sure. So we all have what is called the shadow side of ourself. And those are the parts of ourself that we have pushed away, have blacked off, that we really don't want to deal with, that are either frightening or we're embarrassed about, or that just feel too overwhelming. So there are, one of the things I articulate in the book also is that there are three levels of our shadow. There's our personal shadow, the dark parts of our own personal lives. Then there's our familial shadow, where we can inherit, if you will, the demons of our family history. Whether or not we've lived through them ourselves, we may be carrying the family shadow of things that happened to our parents in their generation, or to our grandparents in their generation, or even farther back in our family line, these sort of ancestral shadows, if they're not A, recognized, and B, resolved, can continue to haunt us further. And then the final layer that I articulated is what I call the world shadow, which is, you know, we have been living for a while in traumatic times. There's not one of us on this planet right now who hasn't been living through, you know, a worldwide pandemic and there's around climate change and violence in our own country or in countries abroad and everything that goes along with these fears. So these three layers of the dark sides of ourself and our world can show up in our dreams. So we find a way to, Alan Siegel, who's a meditation teacher and psychotherapist, says we name it to tame it. So one layer of the work is let's name what's going on when we have the nightmares and go, oh, here it is, or this is about that, or this is connected to that, and that's the first step. And then we bring in the resources, even though in our dream, when we woke up, we might wake up feeling frightened. The whole point of the working with the Gaia method is first to identify resources that you might like to bring in, that to have with you to deal with these frightening events, to deal with these dark sides, so that when you go into the nightmare next time to work on it, you're not going in by yourself. You've gathered a posse of friends and relatives and spiritual beings and people who are real, people who are imaginary, people who are alive, people who have passed on, pets, objects that keep you safe. One of my kids that I worked with brought Mary Poppins with her to do the dream work because she said Mary Poppins is a very magical, you know, being who can protect her. People have brought, you know, their moms, their relatives, both alive and their departed relatives, with them to sort of be around them and connected to them so that when they turn and face the demon or the darkness that's the shadow side of the dream, this time they're no longer alone, and this time they have support, and this time they have, you know, somebody at their back so that they can turn and face whatever has been frightening and threatening to them. And the ultimate goal, or one of the ultimate goals, is to find the gift that's buried there, even in the darkest nightmare or the most scary shadow. And sometimes when we have the courage and support to turn and face the thing that has been chasing us and haunting us, we find that there's a gift that they've been trying to give us. And the gift might be information, it might be some knowledge, it might be a direction for our lives to take. It might be a way to transform the scary thing that we experienced or the trauma that we experienced to out into the world to be a blessing and help others move through that same experience. And that's the gift that we get from having gone through it ourselves. So sometimes we can do this on our own or with a group, a dream circle of friends. And sometimes, depending on what the experience is, to know that it's not a sign of weakness to seek help. It's actually a sign of strength to know when you should do it yourself and when you should seek help and get support of other people to go through these processes.
Okay, so because you have a chapter that says it's interesting, PTSD to PTSG, right? So post-trauma spiritual growth, but I also did gift. I use the G as growth and gift.
I was listening
to you talk, right? It can
perfect.
Also be.
So it's both, right?
Yeah,
so that's
it's both.
We get the gift once we've done the work in our nightmares, and the goal then is to transform that into PTSG, which is the spiritual growth that we get because, you know, like Hemingway wrote, strong at the broken places, that can be true for us too, where having gone through difficult things, that's where our strength then lies, and then we can bring that out into the world. And a lovely metaphor for this is the Japanese art of kintsugi, which is when there is a piece of pottery that has been broken, and then it becomes repaired, and it's repaired with gold. So the new pottery that is repaired with the gold thread through it is now actually more beautiful and more valuable for having been broken and repaired than never having been broken at all. And that's kind of an image that's a nice image to carry with us as we do our healing work.
That is a beautiful image. I've heard that before. Yeah, I really like that. That's a good way to wrap it up because we only have a little, you know, like 30 seconds left. So.
Right.
You did great, that's Linda. Thanks. So let everybody know the best way to find you or follow you or work with you. So what would be the best way?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have two books. One is the PTS Dreams, and that has a website, www.ptsdreams.com. And I have another book that I wrote before that called Modern Dream Work, New Tools for Decoding Your Soul's Wisdom. And that has its own website as well, www.moderndreamwork.com. And that looks at dreams in many facets, not just nightmares, but all sorts of ways to work with our dreams. And then I have my own website for the bulk of my practice and my work, which is www.lyaelschiller.com.
That's wonderful, Linda. Thank you so much. And everyone, thank you for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, Creating the Life You Crave, and wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.